Let's bow our heads and start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know that each and every one of us here is unique in your creation. We know that you have special graces for each and every one of us here today. Help us to open our hearts to receive your truth, to receive your graces. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a beautiful book written on Blessed Mother Teresa called The Secret of Sanctity. It's written by a wonderful author, Susan Conroy, who I had the pleasure of meeting about 7 years ago. And she writes how someone like a Mother Teresa, who's so filled with the perfect love of God, can transform places like hell, Calcutta, to make it like heaven. Now, each of us creates either a heaven or hell for the people around us by what is in our heart. The love of God is there that creates a heaven for those around us. If not, the selfishness could create hell for those people in our lives. So just real briefly, I'm going to look at three parts here today based on the Lord's words here in the Gospel. Charity, chastity, and contemplation. Now, we're all called to be perfected in love. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what he says here in the Gospel, when you first read these words, that love the Lord God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, everything. It can be overwhelming because we can't do it on our own. We need God's grace to fulfill that. But that perfect love is when everything, our thoughts, words, actions, deeds, memories, action, everything, when it's oriented towards Christ, then we're going in the right direction. Now today's psalm is Psalm 18. O Lord, you are my rock, you are my refuge. Lord, you are my rock, you are the very foundation of my life. To be conscious of that at all times, the very reason that we exist is because of God's love. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, looking at this gospel passage, he says, the heart, that signifies the will, that you're choosing good. And so the soul, that represents the dispositions or the good habits that you form, virtues. You know, once you make a decision, then you repeat that decision, keep doing, you form the habit. And then he said the mind, or the intellect, if you're always seeking truth. If you're seeking truth in anything, you are seeking Christ, who's the way, the truth, and life. And then he says strength, the activities of the body, how we use this gift of the body which God has given us. You know, St. Paul says, whatever you do, let it be done for love of God. So we have a supernatural motive that everything that we're doing is going towards the direction of loving God. Now, there's 10 commandments, right? Our Lord in today's gospel puts them down to 2. Loving God with your whole being and your neighbor as yourself. If you look at the 10 commandments, the first 3, if we get those 3 down, the next 7 are no problem. The first 3 commandments, no false gods, not taking God's name in vain, and keeping holy Sabbath. If you get those 3 down, especially no false gods, then that's love of God. We got a strong foundation. The next 7, then, love of neighbor, then, comes much easier. Now, God loves us. He loves us oftentimes through others. There's a story I read, sort of a cute story. There's a granddaughter talking to the grandma, and she is in her teenage years. And she says, you know, you talk about love of God, but it's not sensible for me. I can't feel God. So the grandmother's filled with years of wisdom and so many hours of prayer all the days of her life. She said, well, just close your eyes and say a prayer. Lord Jesus, help my granddaughter to feel your presence, to feel your love. Help her to feel your hand on her back supporting her. And then the granddaughter opens her eyes and says, Grandma, that's your hand. The grandma says, exactly. God loves us, but oftentimes it's through our neighbor. So there's a great truth there. But then reverse that. God wants his love to flow through us to the other people that he puts in their life. Now, this is a scary thing. I first heard this, and it's a true statement. I've heard other authors and spiritual writers say this. Think about the person in your life that you love the least. That's the extent to which you love God. The person you love the least in your life, that's a reflection of how you love God. When I first hear that statement, it's like, whoa! Because we're supposed to love our enemies, right? We're supposed to pray for enemies. Like Jesus, when he's being crucified on the cross, that perfect charity. Father, forgive them. they know not what they do. These people are nailing him to the cross. Whoa, that's all of our sins nailing him to the cross. So these people that our Lord puts in our life, we pray for them. Now, the more that I love God, the more I will love others. And I won't have the selfish bargaining in my heart to be giving everything over. Now, transition, chastity. We may not realize it initially, but it's a spiritual truth. Chastity is charity of the body. A person that's been perfecting the love or is growing in that, what happens, it will affect chastity in the body. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, the great Dominican and doctor of the church, he's talking about charity all related with chastity. And he says, he warns that an excess of venereal pleasure or misuse of the procreative powers plays havoc with our thinking and choosing, and so with personal integration and social relationships. And there's a traditional list, the effects of lustful style, using love in the wrong way, this power that God has given. This is what happens. There's a darkening of the mind. Prayer goes out the window. That's one of the biggest things. Darkening the mind, thoughtlessness becomes more prevalent. One's actions are real rash. Exaggerated self-love. It can even get to the point of hatred of God. Or there's also, too, then the effects of excessive love of the world and aversion for the next. In short, a killing of any taste for truth and for honest love of God, self, and neighbor. Remember, our Lord said, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So the way that one uses their body depends on the degree that they see God in their neighbor and in the surroundings. If someone's leading a life all consumed by lust, there's a darkening of the mind and the reality of why we're here, of giving to heaven. And the person becomes more and more focused self and self on that. Now, chastity, on the other hand, lets us control our exposure to the different pleasures and things of the world in a reasonable way according to our state in life. All of us, we're called to live chastely according to our state in life. I, as a priest, celibate, even those who are married, are called to live chastity in the married state according to your state in life. Now, the Catholic Catechism, paragraph 2518, says, pure in heart refers to those who have attuned their intellects and wills to the demands of God's holiness. Remember, God's demands of holiness is being perfected in love, chiefly in three areas: charity, chastity, and love of truth. There is a connection between purity of heart, of body, and of faith. But becoming pure in heart, relative to the virtue of chastity, does not mean looking at one's sexuality with anxiety or worse, negatively. Sexuality, this is paragraph 2332 of the Catholic Catechism, it's an authoritative teaching on the faith. Sexuality affects all aspects of the human person because of the unity of the body and soul. It especially concerns affectivity, the capacity to love and to procreate, and in a more general way, our aptitude for forging bonds of communications with others. So all of these, charity, chastity, love of truth, are together. If you open up the scriptures, you hear the catechism, hear the words here of the scriptures, you hear the words of the sermon, and you put up a brick wall, that is a red flag that there's something that's off in the heart. And maybe the custody of the heart is not where it should be with God. Your body's not being used the way it should be. Now, I got this from this Father Basil Cole, a Dominican, wonderful spiritual retreat master. I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but I changed it to setting higher goals in chastity in order to have greater charity. And I was thinking about this. Think about some of the most happiest, joyful people who have transformed the world. Blessed Pope John Paul II, whose feast day was yesterday. We have his beautiful picture yesterday. You know, he had perfect control of his body. He'd given everything over to Christ completely. Transformed the world. Mother Teresa, any places she went to the world, it was hell. She transformed it into heaven. She'd given everything over to God, so she was like a big channel of God's grace, love, and peace wherever she went. But we're all called to do that to the extent where, you know, where God has put us. So here, setting higher goals in chastity in order to have greater charity. First, cultivation of contemplating God, devotions to Our Lady. She's called Mother Most Pure, Mother Most Chaste, cause of our joy. if you're close to Our Lady, she'll help keep things in control. Devotion to the saints, regular prayer, asking the Lord for the growth in charity and in chastity when one is tempted. Second, frequent reception of the sacrament of reconciliation and the Eucharist, sincerely and frequently. And when we go to confession, speak openly to the confessor. Openly, not holding anything back, giving it all, exposing it to the light, that the Lord can then take it. The devil likes to hide in shadows and deceit, exposing everything into the light there in the sacrament of confession. Third, avoidance of friendships based merely on sensuality. Oftentimes, young people get caught up in this, that they're with a person, well, that person looks nice, look that, but they're not looking at the heart, just the exterior. So they may have friendships just based on sensuality. But on the positive, what we need to do to grow in this perfect charity and chastity, cultivation of friendships based on spiritual interest. You know, if you have a friend that likes to pray the rosary, that's wonderful. And you can pray the rosary together and help each other. And now true love, perfecting this charity, true love does make sacrifices or mortifications regarding food, drink, entertainment, movies, TV, music, computers, etc., etc. Because what we let come into our mind, our senses, imperceptibly at times, it does change us in a subtle way, more and more and more. So if we're constantly feeding our things, all these things of the world, not putting up guards and being prudent, it could transform us where we're not no longer have the mind of Christ, as St. Paul says in Romans 12:2. And then, a genuine modesty in matters of dress. I've had people say to me, "Father, I love winter coming up." I said, "Well, why is that?" Well, because women then are wearing clothes. During the summer, a lot of times they dress scantily and leads a lot of people into sin, into lustful thoughts. Oh, so genuine modesty. So the way a person dresses and things like that affects others. So we become what and whom we admire, and we admire what and whom we contemplate. So lastly, contemplate Jesus Christ. Contemplate Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Contemplate Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Contemplate Jesus Christ in your neighbor. Blessed Pope John Paul II, he contemplated Christ in the Eucharist so often, every day. He would put himself in the form of a cross, and he would lay prostrate in his private chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, a servant before the Master, just giving his whole being over to God, crucified. "Lord, I die to self." That's what happens when a man is ordained to the priesthood. He lay flat on the cathedral floor, dying to self, and then the new man arises. But he would do that every day before the Blessed Sacrament. Contemplate Christ. Blessed Mother Teresa, she said the sisters would do those holy hours in the morning and the evening, because they said by contemplating Christ in the Eucharist, hidden, then they could see Jesus hidden in the poorest of the poor. And contemplating the words of God in the Scripture, you read a couple words and just let those ruminate in your heart. Then contemplate God and our neighbor, and the saints, but also on our neighbor, where oftentimes Jesus may be hidden. So today when we come up and we receive love incarnate Jesus here in Holy Communion, ask him, "Lord, you tell us in the Scripture we're supposed to love you with our whole being. I'm powerless. I can't do that. But I do have that desire. Help me, dear Lord. Help me." And we ask ourselves, are we creating heaven or hell on earth for those around us? What is in our hearts? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.